Don't fall asleep. This is an incredible gospel this morning. In fact, all the readings, especially even the second reading, they're packed with so many things. But the gospel, in the gospel, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Judge of all, the one who is going to come at the end of time and judge every one of us, in the gospel, he refuses to condemn. If Jesus would have said in answer to the question of the scribes and Pharisees who were asking him, should we stone this woman? And they were testing him. If Jesus would have said, yeah, you know, the law says stone such women, so go ahead. No one probably would have thought anything of it. It was normal. That was in the law. The law said stone her. So no one would have thought anything of it. But Jesus, of all people who could have judged, he refused to judge. Rather, he simply tells the woman, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Neither do I condemn you. I think it's just a side note, but it's interesting in the law that they are speaking of in Deuteronomy. It prescribed that the woman and the man caught in adultery were to be stoned. Yet the man was nowhere to be found. They dragged this woman before them for Jesus to condemn, but the man is nowhere to be found. But I digress. What do we learn from this incredible account of this story? There are a few points that I'd like to make. First and foremost, this story is a proclamation of mercy. It's as if Jesus, as if God is crying out to us, you know, everyone that caught in sin, come to me. Step right up. Don't be afraid that I'm going to condemn you. I will not condemn you. Step right up. Neither will I condemn you. God's mercy is abundant. God's mercy is inexhaustible. There's that prayer. I assume you've heard of the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. The Chaplet of Divine Mercy by that sister Faustina gave us. But I think at the beginning or end of that prayer, there's just an introductory prayer where it says, "Oh God," it begins, "O God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible." I just love that prayer. The prayer goes on, but I just love that beginning. "O God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion," a treasury of compassion inexhaustible. God's mercy is truly inexhaustible. God created us. He came down to us, but he came not to condemn us. He came not to destroy us because of our sins. He came rather to save us. He came to heal us, to redeem us. He came to help us. God simply is not interested in condemning us. He is not interested in pointing out our sins simply for the sake of pointing out our sins. His interest in showing us our sins, because he does. He wants to show us our sins, but his interest in doing that is similar to the interests of, say, a doctor who shows us the disease growing in us and tells us that this disease, if we let it grow, will kill us or may very well kill us. That is why Jesus is merciful and shows us our sins, not for the sake of condemning, but the sake of saving and helping. God's mercy is inexhaustible. Now, because the church is the body of Christ. The church is quite literally the hands and feet of Christ on earth in our time, in our midst. Then you could say that the mercy of the church is inexhaustible. The church is the channel of God's abundant mercy. Pope Francis, he wrote not too long ago a bull on mercy to bring in the year of mercy. And one thing that he said in there was that mercy is the very foundation of the church's life. And also he said that mercy is the beating heart of the gospel. It's a beating heart of the gospel. So the church exists for mercy. It exists to channel God's mercy. The church, then, is not interested in, it's not about condemning for the sake of condemning. The church has no interest in making people feel guilty for the sake of making people feel guilty. Church has no interest in making rules simply for the sake of issuing decrees and making rules. The church has no business pointing out our sins simply to point out our sins. The church, by mediating the healing power of Christ, who, you know, very often Christ is called the divine physician. He is like that doctor who injures us, so to speak, in order to heal us, like a good doctor. So Jesus Christ, the church, by mediating the healing power of Christ, the divine physician, then seeks to heal her people and to guide them to ways of spiritual and even bodily or physical well-being. The church, like Christ in the gospel today, says to the sinner, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more, because if you continue to sin, you will hurt yourself more and more, and you may very well die. Go and sin no more, because the life without sin is a happy, joyful life, no matter what our world tells us. Go and sin no more, because happy is the man who follows the commandments of God. So God's mercy is inexhaustible. The church's mercy is inexhaustible. And then we can say that the church offers us a marvelous way by which we can encounter God's infinite, inexhaustible mercy and his healing grace. The church offers us many of these access points to hit God's mercy, but especially in the sacrament of confession, the sacrament of reconciliation. It has many names: the sacrament of healing, the sacrament of forgiveness. In this sacrament, the Lord invites us to open up our wounds or our sins to the healing hand of Christ. When we speak our sins in the confessional, when we speak them out loud, we speak them to a priest who is God's representative, who's the very ambassador of Jesus Christ. By speaking that out loud to a priest, we allow the light of Christ to shine into the dark corners of our lives. A priest once told me a few years ago, told us up at the seminary, he said that you're only as sick as your secrets. Only what you hide will sicken us. We're only as sick as our secrets. Only what we hide will have the opportunity to fester within us and grow within us. And this is really important, that we need to realize that by keeping things hidden, by keeping these sins hidden, they will cause us to be sick, and at some point they are going to bear their evil fruit. Pope Francis, also in his Bull on Mercy, he said that everyone, sooner or later, will be subject to God's judgment, from which no one can escape. So if we allow these sins to stay hidden in us, they will surely kill us. And, you know, a sure way to die from a disease is to hide it from a doctor. But by acknowledging our sickness, by acknowledging our sins before God through the priest, we allow our wounds the light, the grace they need to heal, to begin to heal. And when we acknowledge our sins and repent of them, we can be absolutely convinced that the last thing that Jesus Christ and the church would do is condemn us. Won't he rather simply say to us, go and sin no more? Now, I think most of you probably all go to confession at least like twice a week, but there are other people. There are other people that don't see a need for it or struggle to go and don't go as often. And just what are some of those reasons that we don't go to confession? This is more of a Protestant notion, but I kind of wonder if many of us don't think this as well. We think, you know, I really don't need to tell my sins to a priest. I can just tell them directly to God. God forgives. He's rich in mercy. He forgives. And I would just say, by all means, tell your sins directly to God, of course. But there is a profound benefit in speaking out loud, like I said earlier, speaking out loud our sins before a priest, God's representative. And also there's a profound benefit in not only speaking our sins, getting them off of our chest, off our shoulders, but also of hearing the words of forgiveness that the priest says. You know, he says, through the ministry of the church, may God grant you pardon and peace. So not only in confessing our sins, but hearing these words, this ratification of God's mercy, is truly a benefit for us. Others may think, you know, I'm ashamed of my sins, that's why I don't go. I'm ashamed that of what Father will think of me, that Father may be disappointed or angry with me. Do you get angry, Father?
Only at deacons.
Now you know why I don't go to confession, Father. So every other priest, except for Father Gary, won't get angry with you. But you know, truly, I think most priests should or do, and if not, they should realize that they are God's representative. And just as Jesus Christ, we see in the gospel today, pardoned an adulterous woman, even Jesus is in the confessional when you go in and confess your sins, and the priest. And definitely Jesus realizes you are there asking for his mercy, asking for his healing. And there's great, great benefit to doing that. And then one other thing, some people may think, you know, I don't have any sins to confess. And I would say you may well be right, but I would imagine that a quick run through any examination of conscience would bring up a thing or two. That it's a funny thing about us humans that the more that we sin, the more we sin, the less we are able to see them, or the less we're aware of our sins. And the more that we need to confess our sins, the more likely we will want to avoid confessing them. So I'd just like to close, you know, whether you haven't gone to confession in a long time or whether you go every couple weeks, I invite us all, every one of us, to take a new look at this great sacrament of mercy, especially in light of the gospel today. Go to the sacrament of God's mercy. Go often and trust that we will not be condemned. We will not be condemned if we turn our lives around by his grace, repent of our sins, and go and sin no more.